Hey there, oddballs. In the paranormal news, we have debunking urban legends and a declassified UFO that broke the sound barrier. How cool is that? In the cryptid corner, go ahead and pump your pet axolotl full of HGH. That's right. We're heading to Europe in search of the... looks like a giant axolotl. It's called a tadpole worm. I think you guys are going to like this one. Oh, and if that's not enough, our special guest will give you chills up and down your spine when she talks about, get this, a haunted child's bike. If it's odd to your friend, it's on the odd to Newfoundland.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friend, have stumbled upon the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Welcome to episode 139 of your monthly paranormal variety shows. Having your hair is better than Easter egg hunts on Sunday morning. Oh man, when you were a kid and you'd be looking all over the house for the eggs. So much fun. I used to love that. And some years we'd be really lucky. We'd actually get gifts and stuff. It was awesome. Or if you're a Marvel fan, looking for like all the Easter eggs in the movies. Why? Because you're wonderful, a masterpiece, beautifully made, important to people, because you're important to me. Highly favored by your creator. Or the law of averages and physics working in tandem, you, my friend, are an oddball. And on this show, you're family, and we are one. I hope no one got you. I really do. It's April 1st. The shows are out. There's three episodes. There's one about the tassel worm. There's this one, the paranormal schmooze and news. And of course, we also have our special guest a little later in the show. Guys, please check them out. And speaking of shows, do you guys have a chance to check out last month's shows? Yeah, man, come on. We had some wicked episodes, man. We talked about the cryptid Mapinguari, this weird beast thing with like a mouth on its stomach. It was such a weird animal. And then we talked all about hoodoo. Yeah, that's right, an H, not a V, not voodoo, hoodoo with Miss Ida. You guys got to check out those episodes if you already haven't done it, okay? Anyhow, I hope you guys had at least a half-decent March. I know I did because... to me, March is like the month of birthdays. It's my mom's birthday. It's my wife's birthday. I mean, there's just, it's my mother-in-law's birthday. It's everyone's freaking birthday is like that month of March for some reason. I don't know. Everyone got freaky, I guess, 9 months earlier. I must have been the nice weather. I'm not really sure. I hope you guys had a wonderful month. And I hope you guys are keeping safe from the global bastard that is COVID-19. Newfoundland has successfully kicked COVID-19 directly in its variant nuts. That's right. We are now almost COVID-free after almost 6 weeks in lockdown. We went to level 2 again just the other day. So I'm very, very happy to say that. It was good to hug my parents again and see my friends and family. I just hope wherever you're to in the world, you guys are doing your due diligence. Make sure you listen to the officials, okay? They're all telling you, you know, like, put on your mask, social distance, and nobody's really buying it. But the reality of it is Newfoundland is the second wave we flattened. We shoot up to 600 cases in like 1 week, and then bam, we knock it down to zero in a month. That's how we're surviving this. We're a small population. We're gifted that way. So I think we're doing pretty good. But all in all, you know, we listen to our health officials. We wear the mask. Look, I'm the first person to love a good conspiracy theory. You guys know that. Oh, my God. If it's not very much enforced, we're going to go all the way back to JFK assassination. I love a good conspiracy theory. Illuminati all day and night. Bring it on, okay? But look, this whole COVID-19 thing, this is not a conspiracy. Guys, don't fall for this silliness. There's people dying. Hundreds and thousands of people have died from this, okay? Please wear your mask. Keep the social distancing going on and just stay safe. Because guess what? I need you.
It's true, man. I really need you, man. I need you in my life. I need you to listen to my show, for starters. I'd like for you to come back and download the show and enjoy it from wherever you're listening from. And I sure do thank you for your time tonight. And not only that, I got some new subscribers I got to thank, too. So remember, folks, if you subscribe to this show, the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, if you subscribe on the Podbean app, I will read out your name. That's right. I will read out your name and give you a shout-out right now. And the people who do that unlock the horrible para-joke of the show. It's our new tradition, and it seems to be working quite well because we got quite a few new subscribers on Podbean this month. Thank you so much, Ty. Thank you so much, Lindsay May. Thank you so much, Run at Tomazar, or is it Runa Tomazar? Guys, sorry if I butcher your name, but let's be honest, we're from all over the world, so I'll do my best. Hannah French, thank you so much. Thanks for hitting subscribe, Jen Phillips. Hello, Judy Tobin. Yeah, Judy Tobin. Hello, Judy Tobin. Thank you so much for subscribing and liking that episode. Murphy Ranch, thank you. Visca Power, more power to you, Visca. Thank you. Sage R. Shelley, 34. Thank you so much, Sage R. Shelley. And, you know, I wonder if it's like, is her name Sage R. Shelley, or is she saying, I'm a sager, and my name is Shelley? Like, you know, does she sage her stuff? Like, you know, the cleanse of spiritual cleansing and all that. Like you can go either way with the people who subscribe to this podcast. Thank you very much, Dietz. Thank you very much, Sage Dragon. Look, maybe you and Sage R. Shelley should hook up. Shh, quiet. No, really, that's the name of the person who subscribed. Thank you so much, quiet. And Christina, Jasper Heyman, or Hyman, whatever you want to spell it, McDonald's Creative Engineering, and Lynn Corinne, thank you all so very much for subscribing to the Honor of the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast on the Podbean app. If you are listening to this show from wherever you're to, and if you're listening on something else other than Podbean and you subscribe, I thank you for that, okay? It doesn't have to be the Podbean app. But if you subscribe on the Podbean app, I can see your name, and that's why I can give you your shout-out. So here goes. You guys have all unlocked the horrible, miserable, disgusting, just zero effort, no Fs given para-joke of the day. Okay, here it comes. We got so many subscribers. I think I'll do a couple of really terrible ones. Are you ready? Okay, here's the first one. Where do ghosts buy their food? At the ghostery store. Ugh. That's so bad. I don't even want to tell the next one. What do ghosts eat for dinner? Spooketti. Oh, God. And now you only imagine what they have for dessert. Blueberry pie. Okay. And now every now and then I get like one that I read that's like, it's actually so bad it's good. That's this one here. Okay, you ready? It says, local team of ghosts have taken up rugby. Have you heard about this local team? They're excellent at scoring drop ghouls. Jeez. Thank you so good. Oh, my God. If these jokes get any worse, maybe we're going to stop getting people subscribing to this show. Anyway, folks, enough of me yammering on like a crazy monkey in a tree. It's time for, well, a very special April edition of the Paranormal News.
Somewhere between the funnies and the obituaries is, oh yes, the paranormal news.
I can only imagine how fast a spaceship must travel in order to soar through the universe and come to our beloved little blue marble. This thing must be freaking fast. Well, looks like we may have gotten some proof. In a Fox News interview, Trump's former intelligence director said the sightings are difficult to explain with regards to a UFO that apparently broke the sound barrier with no sonic boom. More inexplicable sightings of unidentified flying objects will be released for public scrutiny in June, including a UFO that broke the sound barrier without producing a sonic boom. Speaking on Fox News, the former director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, said Saturday, March 20th, that the sightings are, quote-unquote, difficult to explain. Ratcliffe, who served in the Trump administration, said he'd hoped to declassify the reports during his tenure, but they would be released by the Pentagon by June 1st. It's not the first time the military has released strange reports and even videos of UFOs.
known in military parlance as unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAPs. In April 2020, the U.S. Navy released three videos appearing to show aircraft flying faster than the speed of sound, and Senate intelligence reports reveal that the Pentagon is still on the hunt for UFOs or UAPs. But, you know, check your excitement. This one goes out to you, Fox Mulder. The military is generally more concerned about whether UAPs might be secret aircraft or weapons developed by other nations than it is about finding evidence of ET in our midst. And usually that's what all comes down to is, are these instruments of war? Is it a war? Are we going to war? We're all about war. War, war, war. I'll leave it at that. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Look, we all know that there's some crazy plagues that hit our world every single year. Cicadas are coming this year, for instance. Like, it's on the foremost on people's minds. But, you know, Australia has just a really, really, really big problem right now. And that is just an absolute massive plague of mice. And it's ravaging Eastern Australia in particular. Mice in the cabinets, mice in the sheets, they're freaking everywhere. Thousands upon thousands of mice in the barn, pooing so much it takes 6 hours to clean up their waste. These are scenes from Queensland and New South Wales, Australia, where an out-of-control mouse infestation is making lives miserable for farmers, grocers, and really all citizens of the Eastern Australian states. One farmer interviewed by The Guardian described the rodent frenzy as an absolute plague, more severe than anything locals have seen for decades. Could this be global warming? Some farmers have already lost entire grain harvests to the rampaging mice, according to local media reports, while hotels, forget it, have had to close because they can't keep the critters out of the rooms. Staff at a grocery store in a small town northwest of Sydney reported catching as many as 600 mice a night. So far, at least three people have visited a hospital with rodent bites, The Guardian also reported. Steve Henry, a researcher, told The Guardian that the infestation is likely the result of an unusually large grain harvest, which drew more hungry mice to the area's farmers earlier in the season than usual. They start breeding earlier, and because there's lots of food and shelter in the system, guess what? They continue to breed from early spring right through into the autumn, Henry said. Locals have responded by laying extra traps, while one farmer in nearby Queensland was just given permission to use a drone to drop poison bait on the mice from above. What do we do? Because every 20 days, these things are giving birth to 500 offspring. I mean, they give a litter every 20 days. 500 offspring in a season is not uncommon for one frickin' mouse. So these things are everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Can you imagine? That is nightmare fuel. Imagine stepping on the ground and there's like 1,000 mice around you. I don't even think my cat Penny would be able to handle that many mice. Anyway, folks. Moving on. Okay, I'm going to be honest. When I saw this on Facebook, I thought it was a hoax. But unfortunately, it actually has been proven to be true. Cinnamon Toast Crunch has been investigating a claim of shrimp tails in their cereal. And this was so friggin' odd, I just had to report on this one. Twitter users are scratching their heads over a Los Angeles' man's claim that he found shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And the cereal maker's explanation, the alleged findings, has been even weirder. Jensen Karp, a writer and TV producer, contacted the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Twitter account Monday after he claimed to discover the fishy-looking items in his cereal. Like, and if you've seen the picture of this, you just throw up. At first, the cereal social media team apologized and asked for more information. The Cinnamon Toast Crunch Twitter account then claimed what Karp thought were shrimp tails were actually an accumulation of cinnamon sugar. I'm like, no, boy, I'm looking right at this thing, and it's a freaking shrimp tail. Like, take it from someone who feeds his tropical fish shrimp all the time. Those are shrimp tails, no doubt. Karp was skeptical, very skeptical, so much that he accused the cereal manufacturer of lying, posting another photo of the pieces on Twitter. He then went digging deeper into the cereal bag, part of a two-pack purchased at Costco, and made other discoveries. Karp said his wife, actress Danielle Fischel, also discovered what looked like dental floss in another bag of cereal. Karp eventually came to the theory that the box was somehow infested by a rat that left droppings and other collections. Neither Karp nor General Mills, which makes Cinnamon Toast Crunch, immediately responded to requests or comment. But Thursday and Tuesday passed, things changed. Jensen tweeted he has taken his tails to a lab. He took the tails to a lab and tested for DNA to see if they were really shredded. Like, how freaking stupid would the scientists come back and say, yeah, we're pretty sure this is just sugar. I wonder if the guy who found it would be like, ah, sugar. Cinnamon Toast Crunch put out a statement saying whatever crap found in the cereal didn't occur at any of its facilities and told customers who encountered similar findings to reach out. Yeah, because, you know, we all just want to go out and buy a big old box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch now. It's like when I was a kid, there was freaking surprises and toys in the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Yeah, you know, like really nice little spoons and sometimes little figures and even games. Coupons to movies, that kind of stuff. What are we getting here, 2020 and 2021, the worst years ever? We get freaking goddamn shrimp tails in our stuff. We get shrimp tails in our cereal. Oh, God. Ugh. And the weird food news just keeps rolling on. Look, I love me Diet Pepsi. I am absolutely addicted. I drink 2 liters of this stuff a day. It is my go-to. It is my caffeine source most of the time. I love Diet Pepsi. Can't get enough of it. Oh, God, though. So what happens when people around the world keep buying something? Well, the creators start coming up with new ideas, and there's been many iterations of Pepsi over the years. But this Easter, we're getting a bit of a peep show. What are they thinking? Pepsi and Peeps set to release a marshmallow cola. Is it gross or is it great? That's up to the winners of a social media contest to decide. Either way, Pepsi and Peeps have teamed up to create marshmallow cola. Like, it just the thought of a yellow Pepsi can, which will come in small 3-packs but won't be sold in stores. Instead, Americans can get them by hashtagging Hanging With My Peeps on social media. The posts are supposed to include shots of people enjoying the spring. People reported the drink does taste like marshmallows. They said it resembled Lucky Charms. Now, you know, like, this is not sounding too bad. Like, I can think of, like, Vanilla Coke, for instance. That was okay, but, like, I don't know, man. It's just, there's something not right about this. After what has been a very difficult year, many consumers are looking for new things to smile about, said Todd Kaplan, Pepsi's VP of Marketing. So, to celebrate the start of springtime, Pepsi collaborated with Peeps to develop a limited batch of its first ever marshmallow cola. So, there you go. Let's hope this stuff is not disgusting and you're not completely turned off from Pepsi right now. Because, oh, who am I kidding? I'm a horrible Pepsi addict. Like, seriously, I'm surprised you don't find me in an alley somewhere doing some really shady shit just to get me a Pepsi sometimes. Moving on. Okay. Look, our guest, later episode, it's going to be talking about a haunted hotel, all right? So, like, I just felt like I should have a little ghost story in here for you guys as part of the paranormal news. And, well, I just kind of stumbled across this one, and I thought it was really interesting, especially now that, like, all the toy stores are starting to open up here in Newfoundland again, and my kids want to go, and I was just like, oh, boy. This is time to freak everyone out. A ghost in a toy store. No way. That's what people used to say until they visited the Toys R Us store in Sunnyvale, California. This ghost must like to have fun forever. It's not unusual for employees to unlock the doors in the morning and find toys and books scattered all over the store. Sometimes objects fly through the air. Workers report being touched when no one is around. And that aisle 15C sometimes smells like fresh flowers. Others have heard unfamiliar voices call their name as well. Many people have reported ghostly activity in the women's bathroom, too. I guess the ghost didn't want anything to do with the guy's bathroom. Too gross in there. The water faucets gush on when no one is there. If they're turned off, they come right back on again. So apparently, this ghost is all about, you know, the social distancing and the washing of the hands. This is like the ideal ghost. Good model citizen. Some women report being tapped on the shoulder as well. Those with long hair sometimes feel it being stroked by an unseen hand. Makes you wonder who it could be. Casper, why not visit and find out? Check out that Toys R Us in Sunnyvale, California. I thought you guys would like that one. I thought you guys might like that story. Seems like it's right up your alley. We all love a good ghost story, almost as much as we love a good conspiracy theory or even urban legend. And, you know, I actually found a couple of urban legends I just want to crap all over the show because I think some of them are just that ridiculous. But I must admit, There's some validation to some of these, and some I've heard are just really, really strange. So, anyway, here's some urban legends to make this crazy world go round, so to speak. Here's the legend. Kentucky Fried Chicken founder Harlan Sanders, who lived between 1890 and 1980, was a vehement racist and a member of the KKK. When he died, he bequeathed a large portion of his fortune and percentage of KFC's future profits to the KKK. So here's how this urban legend spread. It's unclear who started the rumor or why, but KFC is one of the many companies that have fought off urban legends of secret racism. There's also one about Tommy Hilfiger being disgusted with black people who wear their clothes, and another that says the Microsoft Word thesaurus contained hidden bigotry messages, like just ridiculous stuff that's just not true. Sanders, whose image on KFC buckets was designed to resemble a 19th century Southerner, was a natural target. I mean, come on. Like, you know, put two and two together here, right? Sanders never made any public comments regarding race, though, and he wasn't a member of the KKK, which is, by the mid-20th century, was no longer that large. Influential organization it once was. It was quite small. Further, Sanders sold the Kentucky Fried Chicken Company in 1964, long before he died in 1980. Not only did he not donate a sum to the KKK, but since he no longer owned the company, he was in no position to divert its profits either. So this is literally something that's impossible to be true. So there you have it. KKK has absolutely nothing to do with KFC. Oh, here's a stupid one I heard about before, and this one makes me mad. Like, urban legends that are stupid is one thing, but ones that, like, are offensive, I don't like. Like the last one I just read to you guys, it's kind of offensive. Oh, KFC has nothing to do with the KKK, okay? And members of Alcoholic Anonymous, apparently, this is the urban legend, can trade their sobriety chips or medallions given out to celebrate a week, month, or year of alcohol-free living for free drinks at any bar? What? What kind of a... Like, that doesn't even make any sense. This legend has been around since at least the late 1940s when the chips were first handed out at AA meetings. While nobody knows where it started, its spread reflects the misconception that alcoholism is merely a choice and that alcoholics in recovery will backslide given the smallest opportunity to do so, like a free drink. But we all know that's not true. A sobriety chip is a token and reminder to AA members to stay the course of sobriety. That is all. Bars do not accept them as currency. Never did. Never will. So screw that urban legend. That's a terrible one. God. Here's another one. One that I've come across myself because sometimes I sample different things for my podcast. Here's the urban legend. To permanently archive its vast library of audio recordings, like speeches, historical events, classic American music, the Library of Congress is transferring everything to 78s, a record format that hasn't been widely used since the 1940s. When considering storage options, the LLC was concerned that 50 years from now, there may not be no way to read electronic data, whereas 78s can be listened to with a simple mechanical device. And while electronic recordings can be erased by a stray magnet, 78s are durable enough to last for centuries. This rumor got its start as a fake news story on National Public Radio's All Things Considered on April Fool's Day 2003. Apparently, a few people didn't get the joke, and astute listeners quickly noticed that something was off, though. Since one side of a 78 can hold only about 3 minutes of sound, and the Library of Congress has millions of recordings, it would take a lot of 78s and several decades worth of work. And long songs and speeches would have to be split over several discs. As the faux news story pointed out, experts estimate that archiving a project will catch up with the recordings made before 2003 by April 1st, 2089. Not happening. Okay. Urban legend, here it comes. One last one and I'll stop, I promise, okay? Because these are so bad they're good. Pop singer Lady Gaga was one of the hottest new musicians back in 2009. While she had two number one hits, she was perhaps more famous for her elaborate videos and stage show and for wearing garish costumes influenced by drag queens and the gay club scene both on and off stage. At one concert, she shocked audiences when she opened up her undergarments and exposed male genitalia. So not only is she influenced by drag queens, she is a drag queen. Lady Gaga is a man. And this urban legend was spread the moment in question did happen, but it was a stage hunt. It was a stage stunt with a prosthetic, albeit a very real-looking penis. A subsequent interview with singer Christina Aguilera helped spread the rumor,
When a reporter asked Aguilera who bears a resemblance to Lady Gaga, what she thought of Gaga, Aguilera said, I don't know who that is. Isn't she a man? The truth, Lady Gaga's real name is Stephanie Germanotta, and she's a woman. Well, at least we're pretty sure. We're almost 100% sure. But yeah, Lady Gaga, definitely a lady. Look, I don't have time to be checking for penises all the time. I'm a busy guy. I do not have time to check for penises on every woman I come across. I don't have time. I'm just going to kiss them all. Guys. Lady Gaga penises. A haunted Toys R Us. Pepsi and Peeps teaming up to make the weirdest soft drink ever. Cinnamon Toast freaking shrimp tails. A UFO that broke the sound barrier. Yeah, that's right. And more mice in Australia than you can shake a Barbie at. All these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.